Good morning. Today is Friday, April the 28th. Joining us this morning from Cal Poly Humboldt, Shauna Young. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Now, you've got the PhD after your name, so okay. And you're a dean, even though you don't look anything like dean. We're okay. All right. Dean of the College of Professional Studies. We'll figure out what that means in a little bit. Are you ready for why do we say that?
I am.
You are. Good. Why do we say whistleblower?
What's my actual
guess
and or experience with? Whistleblower is intended to protect the integrity of institutions, agencies that are funded by the people who live in the state. So we have a responsibility to ensure that.
Boy, are you going academic on
this? I am, but this is how my experience with that term.
That's how you're wired. All right. The whistles of police are still heard in some cities. Their impact may have little influence on the formation of the modern title of an informer. However, action on the basketball court has been much more significant. Watch a game with the NBA and count the number of times that an official blows a whistle. Most of the time, the sound of an official's whistle means stop instantly, which is the goal of the industrial or the environmental whistleblower as well. The main object of whistleblowers is to stop illegal actions and infringement on the rules of the game. Got it.
Yes, see? All right.
Now that you win, we're off to the races. So, the fact that Humboldt has restructured everything around, there may have been deans in the past, but I don't think most of us who went there really even recognize their existence, other than they were in that building where the president was.
Yeah.
What is the role of a dean of professional services?
So a dean of an academic college, and just to give context, Cal Poly Humboldt has three academic colleges. We have the College of Natural Resources and Sciences. We have the College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences. And I serve as the dean of the College of Professional Studies.
So that's everything else?
It is everything that's not in those other two. And I'll talk in a minute about what defines us as a college of professional studies and, you know, why I love the college and why I came here. But your question, part of your question was, what does a dean do? What's the role? Technically, a dean is the chief academic officer of that college, which means that that position has the responsibility to ensure the meaningfulness, integrity, and quality of the academic programs or the degrees that are conferred.
So you're kind of like quality control officer.
In a way.
For those areas.
Yeah, in a way. Ultimately, that's the chief responsibility. But with that comes supporting and managing all of the people that are responsible for delivering those programs and supporting the students and ensuring that we're meeting their needs. And
so how do you know? There's so many different
ways to
measure against that. You know, I think one of the typical ones is placement within the major.
Yeah.
Okay, but if, you know, maybe that's something that's neat. Maybe it's something that is really not the real standard that could be applied. There's, so how do you know if you're on target or not?
Oh, that's a really good question. I mean, there as you noted, there are multiple ways to get at that question. And for different people, there's different levels of importance attached to it.
Well, sure, becomes individualized rather than just systemically.
Yeah, but I can sort of just brush across and give some examples of different ways of knowing. But you said placement. So, yes, one of the measures is, are our students getting jobs in the areas that they want to be getting jobs, and are they staying in that field? Are they successful in that sector or that area, that discipline? there's some very specific ways. It's how the university is accredited and authorized to issue degrees.
Yeah, but that's educators judging educators.
It is.
It's kind of like, and I know different
kind
campuses.
Of ancestral.
Yeah, I've been involved with a couple of those. Not on the doing, but on the preparing part.
It's just
interesting. I mean, because you would think that there would be some outside influences that would be coming in rather than the right number of hours in the classroom. Is it the right textbooks that are being used?
You're very familiar with accreditation.
Well, let's just say one and done, but it's stuck. It's kind of like a brand. Yeah. It's tough to get out of my head.
Yeah.
But looking at it in that fashion, that's one way. Are the students getting jobs?
Yeah.
Are they getting jobs in the career? Are they getting jobs in the location that they want? Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody has, let's say, a poli sci degree, okay, great. Now, are they an elected or not? Well, is that really the true measure of success?
Yeah.
Or is it a springboard that they got into something else that they really have passion for that allowed them to get in?
I guess you're hitting on so many things because...
Just don't call me Dean, okay?
Okay, I won't. There's a few things you just brought up that I'd love to touch on. One is like external folks and how are they involved in helping the institution to know whether or not they're doing their job well. And this is where I'm going to kind of weave in what I love about the College of Professional Studies and what it is that makes us who we are. The College of don't let me forget where I was going to go, though, because I'll get lost because I love talking about our college. The College of Professional Studies is unique, in my opinion, to the other two colleges in that every single one of our programs in our college either requires or has as an elected option, an elective option as part of the degree, as part of the academic program, to have an experience, like a practicum, a clinical, an internship experience out in the community in the professional setting that is related to the academic program that they are in.
So like somebody with an educational degree, they have to do a little bit of time in a classroom
somewhere. They're out there for a year as a student teacher. In business, they're out in industry in an internship position. Econ, same kind of thing. In psychology, they're out doing clinical
messing people's
practice,
minds. Oh,
doing clinical practice under the supervision of licensed practitioners. Social work, same kind of thing. So all of our programs have that clinical internship, practicum experience.
Is that new?
It's not new. No, okay. It's not new. But it is why our college is organized in the way that it is, because that is like our common strand across all of those disciplines, including child development, which, you know, so that's what brings us together. Yeah.
It's...
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Shauna Young, Dean of College of Professional Services. Well, that's a long title. How about just Dean at
Professional Studies.
At Humboldt? Yeah.
Professional Studies. Oh,
right.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I'll get rid of the college part. That's kind of confusing anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we took a break, you had indicated that everybody coming out of your area has to do some real time.
Yes.
Doing something somewhere. I've always thought, how curious, if somebody doesn't have that as part of their decision-making process of what their major is. Okay, yeah. If you want to be a teacher, do you like kids? Do you like 30 kids at once? If that, and I'm speaking because I would never be able to be a teacher, ever, other okay. than a lecture setting. Why would you spend 4 years, or how could you spend 4 or 5 years before you got to the point where you realized, I can't, and then go off into another area? It just seems logical. Do a lot of the kids, as they're going through early on, understand what these majors are and that that's where their passion and their excitement level really is? Or are there a lot of surprises and major changes as a junior or maybe as a first semester senior?
Yeah. I probably wouldn't use the word a lot, but I would use the word an important number, because there are some really impactful and important experiences that happen that that signal to both the student and their, for example, clinical or practicum supervisor, that there need to be some important...
Is there another word for teacher or counselor?
It's the person who's supervising their experience out in the internship or the practicum.
Yeah, okay.
And sometimes there needs to be important conversations around off-ramping and finding another career
area.
Path.
And I would think that would be...
It's
welcome.
A positive thing. It's a positive thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully the student, it registers with them that the fit just isn't quite there.
Yeah.
You know, but then there's also those outside influences like mom and dad. We've always had lawyers and you're going to be a lawyer. Obviously there's not a legal school at Humboldt. You're going to be or a doctor. You're going to be because that's the family heritage or in the legacy. That's a whole different dynamic that probably has to be considered also.
Yes.
Hopefully you haven't had one of those this week.
But parents do sometimes attempt to work their way into those conversations. Just as a side note, students also have privacy protections that information about a student's academic performance or career is not to be shared with others, including parents. And so,
because they're of majority, they're 18.
Obviously,
we're getting into an
both
area
age and protection of student. There's federal laws around the protection of privacy.
So it's not a Humboldt philosophical thing.
Right,
it's federal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We just got to know where the target is to shoot at.
That's right.
Not at Humboldt.
Yeah.
in the swamp. Okay.
Yeah.
So with that as a background, when you have these discussions, are there a lot of transferable opportunities for the kids, not schools, but the academic work that they've done to shift into something else so they're not having to basically start over as a sophomore or as a junior?
I love that you asked that question. So from a practical standpoint, a couple of things. The general education that happens, the breadth of courses that happens in the first 2 years is foundational, and it transcends a specific career or academic discipline.
Even if you were in the art college, huh?
Yes, even if you're in arts, humanities, social sciences, all of our majors take a certain prescribed breadth of courses and choices within those. But everyone leaves with, and this is part of what accreditation bodies look for, is that every student who leaves that institution has a certain core essential set of knowledge and skills that do, in fact, transcend any specific academic discipline or, professional.
Well, that's
probably
the difference between a vocational and a state-run school is the breadth or the narrowing.
Yeah.
Of the course offerings.
Yeah. So there's that foundation that all of our students have to work from, to build from. But also, and so now we're going to get into like personal opinion, truly.
That's why you're here.
But I think you get something from every experience. So, for example, you know, all three of my kids work, and I think that that's equally as important. And I don't care what job it is, in fact, because I think that they're getting knowledge and skills from their work experience that, regardless if it's at one of my kids works at Subway and my other two at a restaurant that friends own, it does not matter. What matters is the daily experience and the knowledge and skills that they're gaining, because it transcends. There's transferable knowledge and skill sets across every single.
You got to learn to work.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, you know, unless you really are good either with horses or lottery picks, you're going to be working.
You need to be able to communicate orally and in writing. You need to be able to think critically, make decisions.
Writing, what a concept.
Yeah.
Writing. Handwriting, yeah. I'm presuming.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with the Dean of Professional Services.
Studies.
Services is classifieds. Sorry. Shawna Young, I'm hanging out with too many academics each year, each month. The concept of what today's pressures are for the kids. I mean, we talked a little bit about switching majors and what are the majors and which ones are common and which ones are now cool and all that kind of stuff. The expansion and contraction of I guess the triumvirate is kind of putting together with what Humboldt offers this month. And it's been four or five different scenarios or settings, rather, that I've heard this. With social media, the pressures of the kids to be perfect and how that translates into thoughts of suicide, acting out. Now, there's the normal pressures of going through school. And now you've got this whole overlay that's in there. And then with the lack of social skill sets that a lot have, you know, like you were saying with your kids, you know, they're getting out, they're working, but a lot of it's to understand what work is all about. How much more challenging is it for the school to have some of the classes and the offerings and the presentation styles with this backdrop that is today's reality?
I want to try to directly answer your question, which is, what are the challenges for us at Cal Poly Humboldt? I think one of the challenges is keeping up with and being responsive to what our students today are familiar with, what they how they prefer to communicate, how they are socialize to communicate. So
going with the flow rather than going with what's better?
Well, it's both. It's both. So being responsive to that, being aware, being responsive to, and making sure that that they're seeing and hearing and getting information from us and all of those things, while also introducing different ways of seeing and knowing things. And so that is our responsibility, right? Broadening horizons, even if that means potentially going back to previous, right? So, and you're reminding me of, anyway, I was just going to tell a funny story, but
of the rotary phone
that was in my parents' house, and
what do you mean,
some
your
friends
parents'
coming
house?
Over.
How about your house? My house.
I don't have a rotary. No, I don't.
But
do you?
I did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up with one.
Yeah.
But actually, friends coming over and asking what that is and what do you do with it.
When was that?
Oh,
some time ago.
It was about maybe only.
Was it like 5 years ago?
No, 20 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was a video that I saw about.
Actually, 20, that might be too long ago. Maybe 15 years
okay.
ago. Yeah. But anyway.
Gen Z. Somebody comes in, you know, this kid wants to pay for something. And the cell phone's dead. Okay. So then she, and the credit card was part of the, so she didn't have money, didn't have a credit card, wanted to pay for it, and asked to use a phone. So the gal on the other side of the counter puts a regular cordless phone.
Oh, okay.
What's that? It's a phone. You know, just call your mom and, you know, we'll take it. Well, I don't know what her number is.
Right.
Okay. Do you have, you know, can I borrow your phone? Cal kind of looks at her and goes, yeah, okay. Hands her the phone. Call mom.
Oh no.
Didn't know, but, you know, I mean, it just played the stereotype out. And it's like, that's a huge concern for a lot of us, particularly now as we're hearing that handwriting skills or handwriting is being diminished. Well, okay, so all these records that have been for years with handwriting, do they become antiquated? Do you have to have a linguist to be able to read cursive writing from 1950?
Yeah.
You know, and just the normal sequential progression off of this stuff really gets kind of frightening, so that if, let's say, electricity goes out.
Yeah.
Now nobody can do anything? I mean, that is kind of an intriguing concept as we try to still keep abreast of what's going on, but remembering what reality really is.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance that?
As
apparently that's an ongoing challenge.
Yeah,
as a mom, but also at the school.
Yeah. Let's see. What was the question? How do we deal with that? How do we address it?
Both ends.
Yeah.
Cutting technology, but also the overwhelming dependence on it.
Yeah. I don't know that I have the answer, but it is something that I continually think about. And I can actually share a kind of a dramatic example of, it's not about students, but actually my own experience, which we can get to if there's time. But again, I think as an institution, as a university, it's our responsibility to be both responsive to what and aware of and familiar with and conversant in all of these things that they're, you know, the platforms and the media that they're communicating and the ways that they're communicating with each other, but also ensuring that they have other means. And I can kind of provide a somewhat dramatic, it feels dramatic to me, sort of example of that. So I'm almost finished in my training. I'm getting my private pilot certificate.
Oh, cool.
So, but here's the thing.
Stay away from my towers, okay?
Okay, I will. But, you know, technology has changed navigation of pilots. But there are also the instances where you have an electrical, you know, the battery, electrical, all of that fails. And then what? Then you're pulling out, if you don't know where you are.
The manual.
Yeah. You're pulling out your sectional charts and you're pulling out paper. And if you still have comms, if you still have your communication system, you're not using your iPad. Or say, what if your iPad dies and that's got your route and your here, you're using paper on the fly, literally on the fly, in an emergency situation. You better have a pencil or a pen in the pocket. You better have a piece of paper to write instructions on, and you better know how to look at a sectional chart and figure out where the heck you are. So it's that's, and if you can't, you're screwed.
You don't belong up in the air.
And you won't be up there for long.
or you'll be coming down quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Shauna Young from Cal Poly Humboldt. Has there ever been a thought in the last little bit about going tech-free for a day on the campus? No cell phones, no computers for the teachers, no smart boards for the teachers, no credit card machines at the food services. It's cash, it's paper notes. It's having to talk to people. You know where I'm going. Has there been a thought, just, you know, a reality check, I guess? Your eyes kind of went like deer in the headlight on that one.
Wow, yeah, you're intriguing me. And I'm thinking of examples, but not widespread, like whole institution, like day of
the library, you'd have to sign out, or you know, they'd have use stamps, and the... You couldn't use VoIP phone systems.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I haven't heard any conversations about doing that institutionally, but I have examples, like in our college, of experiences where, you know, there's practical experiences where students experience that. For example, recreation administration is one of our programs in our college. It's in the School of Applied Health. And, you know, this is where they are training to be, you know, outdoor recreation leaders, or, you know, all kinds of things in that industry. But they go out, they learn how to do trip planning and all of those things. When you're out in the middle of the redwoods somewhere, you don't have cell service, you don't have and there is so much dependency on raw survival skills in the wild, you know, so to speak.
That would be without your cell phone.
And yeah, that would be without your cell phone. And the kind of reflections that I have heard from students having experienced that, you know, for sometimes like a 3-day, 4-day excursion, it's transformative, actually. And
probably going through withdrawal.
Potentially. And then also one of the things that's really striking to me is the community building that happens within the group, the trust, the relationship, the connections between people is so much stronger and so much more dramatic.
Yeah, because it's forced rather than because it would happen just naturally.
Kind of like family game night is a small small example of that, but that's one of my favorite things. Is
and nobody gets the phone.
We do our family game night.
Get the phone away so that it can't be heard, even if it rings.
Yeah.
I mean that kind of stuff, and I think a lot of times in academia, either you get so focused that you don't see outside your circle, or you're buying into the newest, latest, greatest.
Yeah.
You forget some of the fundamentals.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's intriguing. Yeah, and
I think your idea of like a whole university-wide day of tech-free would be fascinating.
Oh, you'd probably have such blowback.
Maybe. I don't know.
Teachers not being able to use their computers.
Potentially. I don't know.
Yeah, you probably have to give them 6-month notice.
We would have to plan for it, that's for sure. Yeah, yeah.
But it would be... To me, it's kind of like emergency preparation.
Yeah.
Same concept. Well, you know, when these efforts are done here for the training, everybody has notice.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the earthquake god will ever say, and in 3.5 weeks, we're going to have an earthquake of this magnitude. And this, it's on and you go.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of push those guys in that direction. Obviously not successfully, but push them in that direction and just say, okay, make a phone call this morning at 9 o'clock. It goes out to everybody. Here's what happened. Now we're role playing, but it's game on, no prep.
Yeah. Which is what my instructor has done to me in the plane during my training.
Really?
He'll start asking me. Actually, this was one of my earlier instructors. We're talking, and then he's asking me about this or this, and then all of a sudden he pulls the throttle, or he's like yelling out a scenario, and I'm like, holy crap. You don't get the...
It's game on. At that point, which I think is... That's really what rounds out the educational experience, I think. You know, whether it's a training one like you're going through or in the college setting.
Or working at Subway.
Yeah.
Literally.
Cash register goes down.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Do you know how to count change?
Or a... Or measure out... Disruptive or potentially
the
threatening...
The jerk customer?
Customer. Yeah. And how to
deal with it without escalating it.
Yeah.
All that, it's life.
It is.
Which is, it sounds like things are changing, and that's cool. Some of this is in there.
I'm glad. Yeah.
Fair enough. And you survived the show.
Thank you. Yeah. Also another, to put in my skill set toolbox. Yeah.
Oh, thanks for coming by, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
See everybody tomorrow, or Monday.